Oh, is it going? Yeah, there it goes. Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Mann, and with me as always is Kush.
Hello.
So, somebody here has been playing a lot of games this week, and that person is not me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to be going through them rather quickly. It'll be rapid fire.
Rapid fire. This may be a short show. Well, we got a little bit of news there at the end. Yeah. But we haven't been playing anything together, which is pretty odd.
I was going to try and play the Heroes of Ruin demo.
Demo.
And then I tried to turn on my 3DS and realized there's no charge. So, yeah, that didn't work. I also was going to maybe play Quantum Conundrum. I almost thought about picking it up on Steam. But then I don't think the discount was that great.
I think it's only 40%.
Yeah, and it's a game I would probably just end up wanting to play on the 360 anyway. Because I need my achievements.
And it is one of those games that has 400 points of achievements. So, well, let's get right into what I've been playing. And the first thing I have been playing is Quantum Conundrum, and I actually finished it last night. Okay, so this game was made by one of the guys that made the original Portal.
Was it the gal?
Okay.
Kim Swift.
Kim Swift. I thought it was a guy. I don't know. I don't pay that much attention.
You hear that, Kim Swift? If you're listening, Rob thinks you look like a guy.
I don't know what she looks like. I just know she made a kick-ass game. Quantum Conundrum is kind of a puzzler game in the same kind of vein a little bit of Portal, except instead of shooting portals around, you're changing dimensions and stuff. And it sounds really silly at first. Like the first dimension you have is called the fluffy dimension, where it makes everything really light and soft and stuff. So, you know, they teach you the same kind of ways as Portal is, like, oh, you need to get this block on the Switch. Well, how do you do that? Well, you turn it fluffy and you carry it there because it's a big heavy safe, and you wouldn't be able to pick it up because it's too heavy. And, you know, you get different powers. I don't know how much of that's a spoiler for what powers you get, so I'm not going to mention anything, but the fluffy dimension is the first one you get to. But I really enjoyed this game. The only problems I had with Quantum Conundrum is where Portal is basically all driven by your intelligence and stuff. Quantum Conundrum has a problem with the fact that it sometimes asks you to do precise jumping.
It's more skill-based, right?
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
I mean, it's not hugely skill-based, but there's a lot of times where you'll have to... One of your powers... I can't really talk about it. Well, yeah, I can. You slow down time.
There's still some of that in Portal. Like in Portal 2, when we were playing co-op, and that one time when we were trying to get something, I'm like, just go through now. And you're like, what? Huh? What?
Yeah, but I mean, this is more like, okay, you slow down time, and you may have to actually jump across several items across the gap as they're flying across in slow motion. So, you know, it has to be... It requires too much precision sometimes for what the controls allow.
And precision in, like, a first-person platforming game is always troublesome.
Right. And I feel like Portal 2 eliminated most of this. Maybe the co-op was a little different, but, like, when I played Portal 2, there was barely any time where I'm like, oh, I've got to do this jump perfect, or I'm going to die. And this, there's a lot of times that's kind of frustrating. But if that is really the only complaint, near the end of the game, a couple of the puzzles got really confusing. And I had to actually look one of them up because I got so confused about what they wanted me to do. And when it turns out I was doing the right thing, I just wasn't doing it at the right spot. And that just fucked up everything. So sometimes you gotta, it's not so much figuring the puzzle out, it's figuring out exactly how the puzzle needs to be done. But I did finish it last night. It took me about 8.5 hours to finish.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you're smarter than me, you can figure it out quicker. But it does give you that beautiful Portal 2 feeling when you just stare at something. You're like, I don't fucking know what I'm supposed to do here, and you get frustrated, and then finally you're like, oh fuck, I'm so stupid. So, you know, I love that feeling in games like this.
How did you feel about the humor and the writing?
It's crap. I mean, compared to what,
I would expect that, and I think like some people who seem shocked by that because they hear like, oh, this is from the creator of Portal. Well, this is from the person who created the mechanics, not the writing. So
right,
it makes sense.
The, the mechanics are awesome, and that's, to me, that's what I play this game for. I could turn the, for the most part, I could turn the volume down to this. This is a good game to like listen to podcasting, because, you know, you just turn on your
you hear
subtitles.
That? Listen to us while you're playing Quantum Conundrum.
Right. And but I did really, really enjoy this game quite a bit. It's $15 on Xbox 360 and PS3. So, you know,
same on PC.
PC. Well, if you get this in before the Steam sales,
which you should. It's $8.99.
Yeah. So, but definitely, it's a great game, and I had a lot of fun with it. And they do have a whole lot of the time trials and stuff. After you finish it, you can go back and try to beat it without shifting your powers so many times. But I have no desire to go do all that. So, but if you're into all that, trying to get the best time, and that ties to some of the achievements. But the game has plenty of achievements for just finishing it. I mean, I know to finish the game, you get 80 point achievements. So, you know, there's quite a bit of achievements there to be had in this without doing time trials. So, but it's a great game, and I really had a good time with it, and it was longer than I thought it was going to be. So, the next game I've been playing is a PS3 exclusive called Rainbow Moon, which, funny name, but I've seen some of the reviews on it, and I love strategy role-playing games, but sometimes they get really, really complicated. So I kind of looked at a review of this, and they said it's not as complicated as something like Tactics Ogre or Final Fantasy Tactics and Disgaea and stuff like that. So I'm like, well, it's on sale for PlayStation Plus members. I think it was like $11.19 or something. They have weird pricing.
Yeah,
on
it's
PlayStation.
The usual. It's like, I don't know, 20% off or something.
Yeah, it's just weird. I'm like, what? But I have put a lot of hours into this game already. I fucking love this. So the idea
I will say, I really wish the 360 did that, because I think there should be an incentive for early adopters for games. Because it's not, I don't like the, I think it's a bad idea. Like, what I do with a lot of downloadable games is that I wait because I know they'll eventually be a deal of the week. So if I'm not that interested, I'm just going to wait. So, but if I knew that I could get it and it would go up in price, then I would be like, you know what? I'm kind of interested, so I'll pick it up right now.
Like Super Meat Boy, I wasn't that interested, but when they first released it, it was $10 and they said it was going to go up to $15.
And they've never done it ever again.
Yep, so. But Rainbow Moon is kind of a strange bird. It doesn't have much of a story, but to me it almost feels like if you took your strategy role-playing games like Shining Force, the old-school strategy games, and then mixed it with a little bit of Diablo, it's kind of the same thing, except you don't get a whole lot. It's not loot-based or anything like that, but just the fact that you walk, you got dungeons you go into, you do a little exploring like that, it's isometric view. But when you go into battles, you can it becomes a strategy role-playing game. And it's not like, oh, it's going to take hours. You know, it may be a 2 or 3 minute battle to do. But it's all, the combat is always fun. There's important lessons to be learned with the combat. Like, defend as your friend. If you're getting surrounded by enemies and you know that, or they're getting closer to you and you know.
I like
okay,
that.
Huh?
I like that. A little unintentional rhyming.
Oh, see, I didn't even know. Not Roadblock over here. But if you're getting surrounded by enemies and you know that in the next couple of, like in the next move, that they're going to be able to come hit you, okay, you might want to hit defend, because you might want to attack with one of your attacks and then defend with the other, because if you don't, the amount of damage you take from defending and not defending is so different that you will die fast if you don't defend. So you really got to play that up, where it's like your main character, he gets a third attack pretty early on, so you can attack twice and then defend once. So if you get surrounded, you're only taking 2-3 points of damage. But if you don't defend, you're taking 18, 20, 25 points of damage each hit, and you will not last long. So it's not a complicated game, strategy game, but it's one that you do have to think about how many moves you're making, and one fuck up like that, not defending, will kill you in a battle. So, and you'll have to start the whole battle all over again. But there's a good checkpointing system. I mean, if you die, you leave the battle with one hit point left, and you can go right back into the battle immediately if you've got potions and stuff like that. You do get companions in the game. I've got two now, and I haven't I haven't played that much since I got the second one. But you know, you get like a, you might get a bow and arrow person, and then you also got like another knight dude right now. So, but I'm really, it's a really interesting game. It's really a lot of fun, and it's the combat just keeps me coming back to it. It's like, it's another one of those games you can throw on pixelated radio and listen while you're playing it. So
just do that with every game.
Yeah,
Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect the entire series. Just you know, play it all while.
Turn subtitles on. Pretend like me and Kush are all the characters.
You really don't need it. All you do
hey,
is like,
Paris, what's up? That's exactly how I would play it if I was pretending that I was Garrett or I was somebody that was not Garrus. You were Garrus.
I don't know. That was just weird. I don't know what happened there.
What's wrong, Garrus?
You're freaking me out when you do that. Stop doing that voice. It sounds really weird.
Why does it sound weird?
Stop it.
That's my Gully Dwarf voice from Dragonlance. Two and two and two. Okay, anyway. But Rainbow Moon, it's on the PSN. It's definitely a fun game. I would love to see them bring this to the Vita. There's no reason why that shouldn't be a Vita. It almost feels like it should have been made for a Vita or like a PSP or something, because you can save at any time, even in dungeons. So it's like you do a battle, boom, you can save. You can't save during a battle, but you know, but you're always, I always feel like when I'm leveling up in this game that I'm actually accomplishing something. I feel like I am getting more powerful, and you earn items in battle. Like your equipment, like your materials and stuff that you can use to upgrade your equipment. So like each bit of equipment can upgrade like so many times. So it's just, there's a lot of elements in here, and it's just a really fun game, and it's a huge world to explore, and you unlock a lot of like boats and stuff like that, so you can get around the world. But it's very interesting. I'm definitely glad I picked it up, and I was a little hesitant at first because it's a PSN exclusive, and strategy role-playing games really frustrate me, but so far this one has not been very frustrating. So
I feel like pretty much from now on forward that all PSN games should be, you know, the whole, you can play it on the PS3 or the Vita, and you can transfer your save. They should be like that.
That would be awesome. But, you know, some games I think that would be a problem, but for something like Rainbow Moon, I think it's perfect. It's the perfect game to play on the Vita and be cross-platform. So Sony, get on that now. All right. The last thing I want to bring up is Heroes of Ruin on the 3DS. This came out this past Tuesday. It's kind of a Diablo type game on the 3DS. I haven't really played that much of it. I played maybe 45 minutes to an hour. It's the only thing I've noticed is I've been to two areas and they both looked exactly the same. So I'm hoping there's some that changes, because I've even fought like the same enemies and stuff like that. So if that's going to be the case, it'll probably bore me pretty quickly if everything looks the same. And I mean, the dungeon layouts are really neat. It's not that the dungeons are terrible looking or anything like that. It's just, I don't like to look at the same thing over and over again and fight the same type of enemies, but it seems like really simple. You know, you've got your face buttons. One of them will do your regular attack, and then you have three of them that you can have three special attacks, each tied to a different button, and you earn more attacks. Leveling up, you know, it's your typical Diablo run around, kill things in a dungeon, collect loot. There's quite a bit of loot. I haven't really found a whole lot of loot that has been more useful than anything I've already had, but I mean, it drops loot quite a bit. So another big issue with it as well is a lot of times you're picking up loot for everybody else, like different character classes. So if you're not playing online, there's no real point. There's no real, to me, it's not really that exciting to pick up all this loot because you can't.
Do you have you can't train? I was just about to ask that.
Yeah, if there is a way to transfer it to your characters, I haven't seen it yet.
There's no like just universal chest where you put it in there and then you start a new game or load in another character.
I have not seen a chest that does it. However, I did notice that when I was in the town, if you sell items to the item vendor, it goes to the online, it goes into the store and everybody's game. So if you found a unique weapon, I guess it could be sold to somebody else in another game. It seems really weird. It's a cool idea, They really tried to focus on the online multiplayer of this game. So, you know, even when you sign in, the very first option is, hey, do you want to play this with other people or do you want to play this solo? So, you know, it's usually set to online world mode or whatever. So, but not enough people bought this game, I can tell, because I haven't had anybody join my games. And so, but I did play me and Steven had played the demo together, and that worked really well. So, I mean, it worked well in the demo. I couldn't imagine it being bad in the main game. And then the game also has daily and weekly challenges as well, which is kind of cool. You get experience points boost if you go in and collect, oh, I need to kill all these enemies. And, okay, if I kill all this type of enemies, 500 or 100 of these or 25 of these, then I'll get an experience boost. I did read on some of the forums, though, that the game has I think it's level 30 is the level cap, and they said it doesn't really take long to get to there. But in the hour I've played it, I think I've only made it to level 2. So seemed like to me it was taking me a while to level, so I don't know if that gets easier or something. The only other weird issue I have with the game is the block button and the roll out of the way button is the same button, but what to me would make more sense is to hold the button down to block, and then while you're holding it down to press the D-pad, or not the D-pad, the circle pad in the direction you want to dodge. This game, you have to be moving in a direction and then hit the tap the dodge button. So to me, I get confused, and I'll try to run away and dodge away from something, and I'll hit the dodge button and stop moving, and then I have to. Oh shit! I got to do it the other way around. But by then, I've taken the damage anyway. So it's okay. It's nothing great yet, but it's definitely something different for a 3DS and a portable gaming system. So. Yeah, you should definitely download the demo, Kush, when you charge up your DS.
It's going right now.
Woo! All right, that's all I have been playing.
All righty. So the first, I'm going to start off with all of the Xbox Live indie games I've been playing, and there's 5 of them.
What?
The first one is the controversial game, it's been such a controversy that I had to turn off the comments on my YouTube video. And turn off the liking and disliking of it, because I was sick of dealing with it. Because it was just like a back and forth, like there'd be people who would be like liking it, and then people disliking it. And I think it was all started by some negative Nancy Frenchman, because like I said before, French people are the worst. But it's because the game is basically The Binding of Isaac, but it's got a ninja theme to it, so it doesn't have that so-called disgusting theme that I kind of enjoy, that weird sense of humor, but I think turned off some people, because I remember somebody commented on the video that, you know, they were interested in the game, but it was the theme that they really pushed them away. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
I'm looking at the screenshots of this game. It looks pretty.
Yeah, it's got high production value. It's from, I forgot the name of it's like Milkstone Studios or something. And they do some pretty good games, like their Little Racer series is a pretty good series, and it's only $1. And like I think it's really well done. I think yes, it is like The Binding of Isaac, but The Binding of Isaac, while original, it does take away from other things, and this has native controller support, so it doesn't have some stupid menu that says, hey, go download the software because we're not going to help you. And also, you want some differences? Well, you can shoot in 8 directions instead of just 4. That's enough of a difference. I mean, I can see why some people could, you know, complain, but I mean, this happens all over the place. So shut up. And you know what? They could have brought that game to Xbox Live or the indie space. They don't want to. They don't want to deal with it. So I don't care. And really, the people who were complaining were all foreign French bastards, because French people are stupid.
Is there any reason why the people that were French may have disliked it? Was it like Binding of Isaac made by a French developer or something?
No, I mean, The Binding of Isaac is made by half of the team that did Super Meat Boy, the artist. Right. So, and I can't remember who the other half is. But also, this little French guy has his own YouTube page where he does a whole bunch of like SSX3 videos or something, because that game's relevant. But yeah, I'd recommend giving it a shot. I mean, it's only $1, which is a pretty good deal. I had fun with it, and like you can go on the site, watch my video. It's a fairly long one. It's like 22 minutes or something. So
whoa.
It'll give you a good impression of it all. And the second game I played was Shar, or what, however, if you're supposed to pronounce it, and then : Blue Shield Alliance, which is this little space shooter, twin stick shooter. And it's pretty well done. It's what I like about it is that you get to level up and do all that stuff. You get to, it's not exactly leveling up, it's more so upgrading your different stats for your different ships. And it has co-op, which I like, so it's pretty fun. It's sort of a, from what I played so far, it's like a, you defend these different little areas and you have to stop the enemies from getting them, and then you pick up salvage from the enemies when they die, and then you can use that to either upgrade your ship while you're playing, or you can upgrade the thing you're defending, or, you know, it'll be carried over, and then you could upgrade your ship between missions. So it's more of an expensive game at $3, but it's worth trying. Third game is Masteroid,
which I watched your video of this.
Yeah,
and I can tell you absolutely nothing about this game.
It's just basically sort of like a endless runner in a sense.
That's right. Yeah. You need to avoid getting hit or something.
Get as far as you can, and you want to build up your asteroid, and then you're going to hit Earth. So you have, the game lasts a minute or two, and you want to get it so big, and then depending on how big it is, you know, you'll either completely destroy Earth or just a little bit.
What
the problem was, and what I noted in there, and then somebody also commented and said that, and I found out after I played it that in this details about the game that there's more to the game than just what's in the trial version, but the trial does not indicate that at all. It doesn't tell you that buy it and you'll get these other modes. So it's such a stupid thing, because I looked at it and I'm like, this is so, like, I've already played everything this game has to offer from what I could tell. Because it's not telling me, it's not giving me any incentive to want to buy it.
Like that game where you drove around in the wagons or whatever, it showed you all the stuff the game had.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I don't understand why a trial would lock everything and then not even tell you that it's in there that you can unlock it. It's like, oh, we have all this stuff that we're not going to tell you about. And you know what? If you want to get the game, you'll be surprised, but you won't know about it beforehand. I mean, you have to actually go in and, like, read the actual details to see that there are more than just the one mode. But even then, I really probably wouldn't recommend it, because it feels much more like a game I'd want to play on the iPhone or the iPad. You know, it's just something you pull out and play for a few minutes, like your penis.
I was
just beating you to the joke. Beating. Oh, God, let's get out of here.
Oh, God, stop it. Stop it.
The fourth game was About to Blow Up, Part 1. Which, I don't know if you watched this video, but this game's awful. And my video is so awful, because I'm just doing, like, crazy stupid voice acting for these characters and then making sound effects for them. It's a point-and-click adventure, and it really is a point-and-click, so you have a little cursor. And it's just, it's horrible animation. It's so stupid. This guy wants to be an assistant hip-hop manager, and then he gets laughed at, so he wants to become a hip-hop manager. It's so dumb. The music's awful, and there's like this, I don't know if it's supposed to be a rat, but it's got a purple tail, and it's really creepy looking, and it's just, you should watch the video, you should put it on mute, because my little voice work for that thing is just,
oh no, I love
stupid.
Your voice work.
But, yeah, it is so...
Does Drew Carr make a special appearance in this video?
No.
Aw.
But it's,
and I'm not interested.
So awful. I hated it. And the last game I played that's an indie game was Wooshy, and this is a true endless runner, so you're going from left to right and you're just trying to get as far as you can. But what I really loved about it, and what really made me give it a try, is that it's a very pretty game. I like the way it looks, though it's kind of gets repetitive. I don't know how much more there is after it, because once you hit about 250 meters it just stops, but that was enough for me to not want to play anymore, because it's just the controls.
Really unique art style.
Yeah,
looking at
like
the picture.
I really dig the art style, because it's got a very painterly look, which I dig in games. It's got, like, it might just actually be like some paintings that they've, you know, pasted in layers. But, like, while I love that, the game's just controls poorly. It's got kind of loose controls. The jumping doesn't feel right. It's a bit floaty, and it has a weird thing. Like, in the video, I do a playthrough where I just kind of hold the jump button, and I do fine just doing that. Like, I don't have to actually do anything, because there's this weird like mechanic, if you even want to call it that, in the game where if once you hit the side of something, he sort of just like jumps again.
Huh.
So that, like, I don't know, it's like you feel like there's no
challenge.
Yeah, just because if you hit that, you're not going to fall. You're just going to jump up and get on there. And it's very hard to keep up a momentum, it seemed like, in the game. So it felt like I kept having to be slowed down because I couldn't keep a set of jumps going. So I don't know. I'd still say maybe you could give it a shot, because maybe the controls for you, the listener, are okay. Because it's definitely a very pretty game. It's only $1. So it's worth maybe giving it a look. You could at least watch the video. That's all the indie games. So now, you know, quote, real games.
I don't think Grand Slam Tennis 2 counts.
Tennis is an awesome sport, and I love tennis games, and I love tennis. This game's not that bad. I played the demo a long time ago, and I think I talked about it then. I like the system of using the right analog stick to control the racket and everything, but at this point, like, I don't know, I've been doing the career mode, which seems, it's so one note, it's just like the same crap over and over again, so it's not that interesting. I wish it was more full-fledged, and at this point, it's been really, really easy. I can just destroy everyone, no matter what, especially if I just attack the net, so it's just been kind of annoying in that sense. And I've heard that some say, like, the career mode is just automatically on your first year. It's going to be in the rookie difficulty level. So, I don't know. You can't change it or anything. Mm. I do like playing. I like all of EA Sports games, pretty much. You can import your face if you have it, like, on the website and stuff. So, I have my face on my guy. And it's fairly accurate. I guess I could put, like, I could take a screenshot of that. But it's kind of weird at times.
Did you put yourself a curly mustache on?
I gave myself a full beard. Thank you very much. No curly mustaches. Every time I've shaved and left the mustache, I immediately shave it off because it looked like a freaking pedophile. It's awful.
You would have a pedophile mustache.
Thank you. So you have a... You don't even... You can't even grow a mustache.
Shut up.
It's just like...
You just can't see it.
Pubes.
It's growing pretty good right now. I got my little goatee going. You just can't see it because it's all white hair.
Mm-hmm. But then I also, what I've been playing a lot of mostly is Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker HD.
Yeah, I've seen you playing this about every night I come online.
And nobody else is playing it. I'm like, I was trying to see if maybe there's anybody who I can trade my, you know, I don't even know what you want to call my employees with, but nobody's online, but I forgot how good it was.
I was like, man, maybe I need to go online and play that with Kush, and I'm like, he won't join my group.
I'd be interested in doing that.
I don't know. You may be further than me anyway, so...
I think I just finished chapter 2.
I don't know what's going on in that. I don't even know what chapter I'm on.
But yeah, I really... That game is so good. I would love to see them do a full console version of that kind of game, because I love that whole system of gathering. Like, it's just... It's so perfect. And, like, they should really... Like, I guess it's on the Vita in a sense of being a PSP downloadable game.
Yeah, but that sucks. They should have put that with the Vita collection. Yeah.
But
maybe they couldn't fit them all on.
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's that they could double dip.
Mm.
But I think it's so damn good. I wish more people had it because it's so much fun.
That game is such a value.
I mean, it's set.
Because the original two games just look fucking gorgeous in HD.
Especially 3. 3 looks just ridiculous.
So.
But yeah, I've been really enjoying that. It's just, you know, I never finished it on the PSP. Because it's just, every game with the PSP, it eventually just becomes like, oh, I only get like 2 hours of battery life. I don't feel like playing this anymore. But
just like the 3DS.
Well, I get more with that because I have my big fatty back on it. But then I don't play anything anyway.
I seen that was on sale for $5 at Best Buy today and almost bought one. Because I'm like, I don't like the one I got for my battery. And this is like a built-in battery thing and I almost bought it. But then I was like, I'll never be able to... It actually, you can't just take it out because it's actually a battery, isn't it?
Well, the one I have, you have to like screw in. You can't, it doesn't like pop in and out. You'd have to unscrew it.
Yeah, and that would cause me not to be able to use my... it would cause a pain in the ass to use the dual stick.
How often do you use that?
Every time I play Resident Evil.
Well, then just finish that game and get it over with. Because there's not like a whole bunch of games you're going to be supporting that or really using it.
Well, I'm waiting because Nyko's bringing out one this year that has both built in. It has the dual stick and the battery pack.
3DS is turning into a monster of a machine. It's so not portable.
Well, anything that makes it easier for me to handle and hold is great, because it's so thin that I just have it cramps my hands up to play it. So,
speaking of Best Buy, I picked up Infamous 2. I haven't picked it up yet. I just have it.
Why didn't you
in
get
store
it from
order.
PlayStation Plus?
I do.
Oh.
But I'm not going to download 12 gigabytes.
Oh, okay.
That's never ever going to happen.
Yeah, you said you tried to buy a hard drive.
I was looking at them and I'm like, I don't want to deal with this either. Forget it. I don't care enough.
Yeah, that's kind of how
and
I
like, I feel like if I were to download Infamous 2, it would download it all and it would take forever because that's how things work on PSN. And then I would try to install it and it would be like, this is corrupt, re-download, and I would throw my PS3 out the window.
I don't think that's ever happened to me.
Well, I think that happened to Lunchbox, you know, from Twitter. I think
well,
he said
Lunchbox
that happened.
Is a little
that.
Weird.
He is awesome. He is somebody who I'd actually hang out with in person. When that's saying something, because I hate people. No, I don't hate people. I kind of. Some people. I get annoyed easily. Anyway, I also restarted playing Puzzle Quest Galactrix, which is a game I really love.
Yeah, what were you playing this on? The
360. Like, I really wish they had an iPad version, but they, you know, why would they take the time to do that? So, I mean, I forgot how huge the game is. Like, it is so, there's so much crap to do in that. It's like, I'm looking at this map of every, it's just to do, I'm like, I don't, and loading it up after probably at least a year, I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But I've got the hang of it now. I just feel like I don't know what the hell to do anymore. Like, I think I need to do some missions to upgrade my ship because I feel like I'm at a point where it's pretty much only luck that will help me, like, beat a ship that's coming after me, because everyone's pretty much pissed off at me now. If like they see contraband, you back?
Hey, yeah, I'm back. They cut out for a second. You cut out in that conversation about a puzzle quest, and then you came back, and then you went out again. So I don't know what just happened.
Well, it's Puzzle Quest Galactrix, and blame
puzzle
it.
Quest.
Yeah, it's a fun game, though. I don't know if you'd really want to pick it up now. I don't know.
And don't pick it up on the DS, because I heard there was a lot of load times and shit on that one.
There were. I mean, that's where I played most of it back in the day. So.
Speaking of back in the day, Z.
Yeah. I swear to God, I'm going to fucking... This son of a bitch. I finally got it working, but I spent hours and hours trying to get... just to get this... Because I was stubborn, and I was trying to get this thing that they tell me I should use, which is the 6 updater. And I could not get this thing to fucking install at all. It kept giving me, like, Windows installer errors and all this other shit. And then I'd be like, oh, I'm trying to find fixes. And I would then try to do them. And the same shit would happen. I would try installing other software to see if it was a global problem. But it wasn't. So I don't know what's wrong with that program. But fuck it. And there's nothing on there that has anything about anyone else having this problem. So I don't know what that is. There are people like, I would look up and try to find some... You know, people saying, oh, you can do this, but everyone would be like, oh, the software's not running after it's been installed. No, it's not even installing, you sons of bitches. Just give me some fucking information. But I finally got it all installed with, like, this Warum tool or something. So I played, I don't know, 5 minutes of it. And, I mean, it's a very beautiful game, because I'm assuming that Arma 2 is just a very beautiful game.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do much because I got scared way. Well, I got scared right away. I got freaked out. I didn't play the Arma 2 at all before, so I wasn't exactly sure how the controls were. I didn't know anything. I just like basically I looked in the controls and I'm like, there's so much shit in here, and then I'm just like, how do I crouch? Because everyone I've heard talk about
there's
this game
crouch.
Says you can't do anything more than crouch. You can't just walk. So I'm like, give me where's the crouch button? And then I did that, and I was like right by this dock area. So I walked over, and then I saw in the distance two zombies eating on a dead person, and I'm like, I don't know where to go. Like, I tried to get in this one building, but it wasn't a building that had a door that you could go into, and then I'm like, I have nothing. I have like painkillers and some bandages, and I'm like, nothing else. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with this right now. I got other shit to do, and then I just quit. But I'm looking forward to going more into it.
You know, after you tell how awesome, or when they talked about how awesome this game was, and you told me that it was a first person, or like, is it the first person?
First person. I don't know if you can change, if you can pull out two or not.
I would really love to play this, but I looked it up. My computer definitely can't run it, so I was sad. Because I'm like, man, I'll buy that for $18, Arma 2.
Yeah, I'm playing it on all very high settings and everything, so it's very, very pretty. It's so shockingly pretty. And I'm looking forward to actually playing Arma 2 as well. I'm a fan of military shooters, especially ones that take it more serious and are more realistic.
I really wish they'd bring this out on the consoles, but well, I know that's never going to happen.
It could when they turn this into a real game, because you know they're going to do that. I mean, they're bringing it for, like, it's going to be an official either mode or something in Arma 3. I mean, because this has been the greatest selling tool for Arma 2 ever.
How much was DayZ cost? How much did it cost?
DayZ is free. It's just a mod.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. It was free, so.
But I'm pretty sure that it was. It always started off, but I know that like one. I think the guy who initially started off is just somebody who works on Arma 2,
mm-hmm.
who's doing this on the side. So.
Yeah. Now listen to how that game sounds awesome. It just sounds really. It sounds like the Walking Dead video game should be like.
It is exactly that. I mean, it's basically what. Like I said in the last show, this is. I wish Activision would have just like said, "Hey, make the Walking Dead game for us. Let's forget your co-op shooter thing. Make this, you know, full fledged us out. You know, we'll give you a lot of money. You get this license, and then it'll explode."
But I don't think a game like this would sell well for like the Walking Dead. I don't think that crowd that watches the AMC show is going to care about a game this fucking difficult.
Well, no, you'd sucker them in, and then they'd be like, fuck this game, and then you would have all those early sales, and then everyone would just be playing on PC.
You said this is Activision, so this would be, oh, you don't start out with anything, but for $1 in Microsoft points, you can buy this pistol with 6 bullets.
Or you buy the collector's edition, which gives you a baseball bat in-game for 40 extra dollars. But once you break it, you never get it again.
We're assholes.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, it freaked me out because the second I started moving, like just one step, this move, the music started kicking in, and I was like, calm down. It was just one step, please. Don't freak me out already. Just cool your jets, man. I'm like, they pump in that music, going like, what did I just already? The zombies after me? Yeah. Did I, like, make too much noise and they're already after me? I'm like, what the hell's going on? I'm freaking out. So, yeah.
Can you do video of this?
Well, yeah, I mean,
some video of this and do some of the shitty voiceover work for it. I would love to hear you freaking the fuck out.
Well, I don't want to do that.
I think it'd be awesome. Who wants to see Kush do this?
No one.
Call us at whatever our phone number is.
312-772-5874.
So,
the 5874 is also Kush.
Kush!
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I've been playing. Though I didn't play much DayZ as I did trying to install it.
Well, I want you to play some DayZ because I want to hear you cry like a little bitch. That's always enjoyable.
Yeah. I thought about going back into Minecraft. I thought about picking up that skin pack.
Pick that up.
There are a lot of skins in there.
Yeah, there's.
And it's not 40, that bad.
40 skins for.
Because like that was always an issue with me, like with the idea of playing co-op, is that everyone was like automatically skinned, right?
Uh-huh.
Like the first person who would join a game, he would automatically be this thing. Then the one after that would automatically be this skin. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, most time when I join Steven's game, I'm usually like the fourth person in there, so I'm usually the black guy with the gold chain. So.
That's so you.
So now I like to go in as the diving dude.
I'm also interested just because I know they said the patch changed a lot of stuff.
I haven't really played much since they put out the patch. I just kind of went in, and I don't really enjoy playing that game anymore as I used to because it was really fun at first, but now it just kind of got boring because people are...
I mean, it's not it's so far from the PC version.
Well, that's not. Well, I want the adventure
mode. I mean, like if they had that in there, I think it'd be a lot more enticing.
It's coming. I don't know
when,
but it'll be coming.
I'm thinking that might be like a fall thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it'll be like almost like it's a new release. Get the adventure pack.
Alrighty, so let's move on.
The movies.
What kind of elitist indie crap have you watched this week?
Fuck you. But the first movie I watched is called London Boulevard. I think it's based off a book. It stars Colin Farrell and Keira Knightley. And it's a weird-ass movie. Like, I was really excited for it, and then I watched it, and it's just, the editing is just kind of scatterbrained, and it's just, I don't understand what the hell's going on. I don't buy a lot of the relationships. It's just really weird. But, I mean, it's just like, I sat there, and I was watching it with a friend, and then when it was end, I'm like, what the fuck was that? What did we just watch? I don't understand any of it. And it was just like, we started watching, and I'm like, huh? It's over. That said, it's way better than Killer Elite, because that is one boring-ass movie.
Okay, what is Killer Elite?
That was that Jason Statham, Robert De Niro, Clive Owen.
Oh,
and
God.
Also the girl from Chuck, whatever her name is. But she's not that...
Yovani Stravosky.
She's not in it that much. Oh. But it's so boring.
Does she get naked in it?
No.
Oh.
I was expecting a lot of action, but it doesn't really have that much action, and the action in it isn't that good. The only cool part is when they're chasing after this one guy who's the actor who was in John Doe, which is who I'll always remember him as, but he's also, I think, the brother in Prison Break that was in prison, who was trying to break out, like, in the first season.
And I've never watched the show.
He was Dracula in Blade Trinity. And in the beginning of Equilibrium, he was the guy protecting all the art things that died in, like, the first few minutes. But who cares about this guy's IMDb page? Yeah, there's just a part where he's getting chased, and then he, like, is on the highway, and he's trying to get a car to stop, and then he just ends up getting hit by a semi. And that's the only part that I enjoyed.
Wow.
But, yeah, I also started watching Falling Skies, the first season.
Okay, I watched about 3 episodes of this and then could not stand the show anymore.
Me too. It has a bit of a, like, Jericho Walking Dead vibe, and it's much more about the people than the aliens.
And what makes me the most mad about this is years ago I was writing I did a role-playing game kind of based on the same concept, except I fucking hate the aliens in this shit. They're like, to me, they're dumb creatures instead of smart, sophisticated. When you see these creatures, you think to yourself, there's no fucking way they could build spaceships and shit like that. They just look stupid.
There are, like, different ones that are doing all that. I think I saw, like, from the end of the season, like, there are more humanoid-like ones. And then they have these giant robots that look like giant Cylons or something.
Yeah, I had a better idea in mind for... What
I really don't like is I hate his youngest kid. I want that kid to die so bad. He's an awful, awful, awful actor.
Him? Who do you hate more, him or the kid from The Walking Dead?
I don't even remember The Walking... Yeah, I've watched the first season, but I can barely remember. I would definitely say I hate this kid more. This kid is awful. I mean, this is pitiful, pitiful. And, you know, he's just a little kid, so it's not like it's his fault that they hired him. But, I mean... He just can't act at all. It's just so forced and shitty, and I can't stand it.
Another thing I hate about the show, it's like, we start watching... Like,
and it starts turning all this religious stuff in my face. Get out of here.
I couldn't stand the fact that it's like, we got our best men here, and one of them is like an 11-year-old kid as one of their main military kids. I'm like, what?
Stupid.
Stupid shit. I'm like, get out of here. Go. It's almost as bad as the vampire kid in this season of True Blood. That little kid got on my nerves. I'm like, I can't believe they'd put a kid in this kind of role. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's kind of funny because it's like, he got turned into a vampire when he was a kid. But to me, that's terrible. I don't know. It's a dumb idea.
Wow. But yeah, like I decided to start watching some of it because I got it for like $2 the entire season on Amazon.
And you still felt ripped off.
Yeah. It was just like,
people love the show, though. I don't know why.
Well, I still, you know, getting promotional stuff from them. Like, I got, before the second season started, I got the first episode.
You got a Vesture bag or something, didn't
you? Well, that was for the first season, but for the second season, I got the first episode before it aired on a actual DVD in a fancy case and everything.
Wow. You still don't know why you're getting this stuff?
I know why I'm getting it.
Oh, okay.
It's because I got clout, bitch. Stupid ass.
Clout with a K?
Clout with a fuck you.
Plus K, Fallen Skies.
Yeah. But yeah, let's just move on to news and wrap this shit up. Wrap it up tight so we don't impregnate anyone.
This story here, report, Activision possible buyers include Microsoft and Tencent. So apparently, Vivendi is trying to sell, is talking about selling off Activision to get some more capital cash or something. I don't know who Tencent is, but I know who Microsoft is. I just don't see them spending that kind of money, even though they said that because of stock market and stuff that this could be, this could be affordable, is what they said. So a couple billion dollars, you know.
I think it would probably be a good idea for them, but I think it would be a bad idea for the industry. I think they're way too big of a company to be exclusive to a platform.
If Microsoft were to buy this company, what I would see happen is that they would still do multiplats.
Well, I don't know about that. I think they would do PC, but I don't know if they would really do PS3.
I think they still would do PS3 games. I think they would keep the Activision name and still have multiplats, but I have a feeling that they would make the games released later on PS3.
Maybe, but I don't know.
To me, that would make sense. Because, I mean, if you're going to buy a big company like this, you want it to stay multiplat because that's half your money.
I wouldn't say it's half your money because I'm sure the Black Ops sales on 360 compared to PS3 is not one-to-one.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you're cutting out. I mean, you got to think, I don't know. I think if I were...
Yeah, but you're also looking at, you know, all these companies, they want to put everyone else out of business. They
true.
Do.
I mean, you got to remember, Microsoft was also the company that was going to put Halo out on the DS, so...
Yeah, I don't really know about that. I don't buy that at all.
Oh, it was... If you look into it, it's true. Microsoft had a DS prototype had a Halo prototype, and
I could see them doing it before when they're like, I don't even know if we're going to keep doing this Xbox thing because this thing has been shitty for us. It's not like the Xbox was super successful. Halo was successful.
But it was going to happen. But then they changed their mind, and it looks, they talked about it for a little bit there, but it never came out. But in fact, it may have even been done and they scrapped it. So, but yeah, people should look into that. That was an interesting story. I don't know all the details because it's been so many years since all that went down. But the Steam Summer Sale has been launched and is almost over.
Yep.
I bought a few things for like a couple of dollars. I bought like some of the Chantil, that company that makes those little RPGs or whatever. I haven't played.
They're like the one that did the Recreator.
I already had that one, but I bought their other two games that they had on their sale or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I bought something else that was $250. Not what the hell that even was.
I know you bought that Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, well, that was $5. Yeah. I bought that. I haven't even downloaded. No, I did download. I haven't tried it. I'm trying to think of what my library. I know I bought something else too.
Anyway.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the Steam Summer Sale happened, and there's some good deals in there. I got a little bit annoyed by the whole, like, they added this voting mechanic in there and these flash sales, and I was excited about those at first, but then I got annoyed by the fact that they didn't really matter, because, like, in the voting, if what you picked didn't get chosen, it would eventually show up either in a daily deal or in the flash sale, so all these things were obviously, like, we've already agreed that we will put this on sale for this percentage off. So mm-hmm. even if it doesn't get picked, put it somewhere else at that price.
The flash sales kind of annoyed me because if well, they would have annoyed me if I had a better PC, because some of them were like, they're pretty good deals, but they only go for so many hours, and it could be during while I'm at work, so I wouldn't be able to buy them.
Well, if you could have bought them on your iPhone.
No, because they have it blocked.
They have that app blocked?
Mm-hmm. If you, it won't let you. Our Wi-Fi. Well, I mean, I guess I could have
done it on 3G.
I could have done that, but I don't know. It's just that's a tassle, because then I have to get to some place in the hospital on my break that has a Wi-Fi signal, because our break room's in the basement, and you know it's a fucking mess. So I don't know. I don't like it, sir.
Well, too bad for you. Boo ho ho. It doesn't matter, because all those deals ended up like they'd be repeated and repeated. I mean, that's one of the things that annoyed me about this, is that there are a lot of repeats.
Oh shit, the new sales have went up for today. I didn't notice that.
So, I don't know. But yeah, there's that. That happened. Ooh-yah. Yeah. I hate the name of this new console.
Yeah. So, this was the funniest story. So, everybody day one was fucking excited about this. Oh my god, $99 console, Kickstarter, here, give me my money. By day two, it was like everybody had turned on this story, and I don't know, I don't understand exactly what happened. To me, I thought it was kind of a cool idea, but the more I thought about it, I don't know, I just...
It's not really coming out for a long time, and by then, the, you know, internals are going to be dated, unless they end up changing those. And you know, part of it is also there's no real incentive to keep funding it after it got funded, because
there's no stretch goals or...
Well, no, because when they do release it and have it in like retail, it's still just going to be $100. It's not like you're saving money for supporting them early.
That's true.
And even like the first early discount was like $95, so you get to save $4.99. Thank you so much for supporting us. And I don't know, seems kind of like... they're gonna need, like, so one of the things I hated was the people who would be talking about this and like, this is gonna disrupt the console scene. It's gonna change everything. You know, the Microsoft, Sony, they're all gonna be having their eyes on this because this is gonna change everything. I'm like, no, it's not. When you look at how much it's raised, I mean, you just like, you take it and you're like, okay, well, that's about, you know, say 50,000 consoles they sold. When the 360 sold 260 in June or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, been out for 6-7 years, whatever. So, I mean, that's not enough to disrupt this scene. This is this will always be a niche product.
And the problem with it, it's you're playing cell phone games again on a TV.
Yeah, I mean, you need developers, and then, you know, it's going to be hard to say, oh, I'm going to develop specifically for this. They're going to have to implement the controller. I think the controller is kind of neat to have that little touchpad area on the front of it, but still, like, the way I look at this is that if you're looking for a set-top box to like watch shit and do that kind of stuff, and also to play emulators, that's what this is perfect for. Like, right. If I'm still kind of interested, like, I would maybe pick this up when it actually came out for retail. Mm-hmm. Because if I could just, you know, put in all the emulators and then just use it as that, like an emulation machine, then yeah, I'd be happy with it. But I'm going to wait because there's no incentive to support it and back it right now.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you this, man. I'm bringing this up. I don't know. I looked up and seen something remind me of this. Did we not get the shittiest fucking Nintendo Club gifts this year?
They're awful. Like, I was looking at them like, I don't even know what to pick. I don't really want either of them. I went with
Metroid
the...
2, and I have a fucking Platinum. It's the first time
I went with the cards. Because I definitely didn't want the posters because they were kind of ugly.
Yeah,
and I wasn't interested in them. Like, the only one I was kind of interested in was the Luigi's Mansion one. Mm-hmm. I didn't want the other two. I would have rather them say, "Hey, we'll bring back," because I think they don't have it anymore, the like old Zelda 3-pack or something. Yeah. I hate it all.
Zelda poster that's in there, I have that poster from the 3-pack of Zelda posters, but it's a different colored background. That's the only difference. And yeah. I almost bought those, and I'm like, well, fuck that. I already have that poster, and the other two didn't really excite me, so...
Yeah, I was just like, I went with the cards because I thought they looked kind of cool, and they looked to be somewhat durable, and I like the fact that they're somewhat transparent. So, I figured, you know, I'd rather have that than... And I don't like the idea of picking up something on WiiWare that I can just get myself with money. When I can get something that is, you know, specifically unavailable in any other form.
But I feel because they knew a lot of people would hit platinum this year because of the 3DS and stuff, I just think that was a really shitty year for Club Nintendo. Because the last couple of years, man, they've had something kind of cool for the...
I really like the statue. And I have my pins that I've never opened. They're still wrapped up and they're, you know, so they're still all formed in their 4x4 square.
So, yeah, I was hugely disappointed because I'm like, I'm finally going to get something cool. I got Metroid 2 on...
This is your first year as a platinum?
Yeah.
So you don't have the statue of the pins?
No.
Oh, yeah. I wish I had the hat. I'll be platinum again this year because this is the trick is that you don't... You only register up to platinum status and then you save everything else. That's how I started doing. I probably have enough left over for like 2 years of platinum at least. And I'm trying to think of what I would use the points I've built up. Like if I'd want to get that 1,200 point play and whatever, watch and play, play and watch.
Oh, handheld. I don't know. This year I might be able to get platinum again next year if I buy a Wii U when it comes out. So,
But yeah, Penny Arcade sells out. They title it. Don't get angry at me. Don't get angry at me. This is the name of their Kickstarter.
So basically, they started a Kickstarter. If they got $250,000, they would remove all the ads.
But it's not all the ads for 250. It's like this one specific ad, I mean, that's the one thing that I think is a bit just, I don't know, kind of, I wouldn't say it's deceitful, but it's sort of, they're like talking about all these ads, but then it's like you need to raise like a million or millions for them to remove ads entirely from the entire site.
I think this is a big scam all the way around.
I mean, I don't like it.
It goes against Kickstarter. I mean, more and more people seem like they're going against the whole idea of Kickstarter.
I think Kickstarter doesn't give a shit because Kickstarter says, hey, these things are making money and we get a cut of it. Mm-hmm. So, fuck you. I mean, because I don't know if it's 30% they get, but they're just like, man, these things are getting funded and they're getting funded for a lot of money. So, go at it.
I mean, it just seems like it's only a year for they're going to remove the one ad. Well, they've gotten enough now where they're going to remove a lot of stuff, so I don't know. But it just seems like to me it's just, as of right now, I think it's, they only got $350,000.
It slowed down real fast. I think there are a lot of people who are just like, really? You got like these giant expos and all this stuff, and you're now asking us for money?
And not only that, it's like some of the goals are like the...
I didn't like the goals because they had so many of them hidden. And it's just like, well, if you really want us to keep paying or to reach these higher goals, why don't you just come out and tell us? Don't play this freaking game of guess who with us. Just tell us everything.
Even some of the prizes are like, if you like you spend a lot of money, if you go for the highest one...
I will follow you for a year on Twitter.
Or I will retweet one of your messages. I'm like, well, fuck you. You should do that anyway to be nice. If you see something that somebody, I don't know.
This is like Adam Sandler with his movies, which I feel like he's just trolling everyone. And this is sort of like, hey, pay this much, and I will think about you while I'm having sex.
My favorite is like the ones with like the huge gold money. We will have you'll have to fly out to meet us. Buy us dinner at our restaurant that we choose. We choose the restaurant, all this stuff. I'm like, that's kind of shitty. But again, who's going to fund $10,000?
I mean, at the same time, that's their sense of humor.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, like, my problem with Kickstarter has always been that these well-known properties always end up getting funded, and it's the little guys who end up getting screwed because nobody pays attention or cares because they'd rather pay for an established property than something they're not quite sure of, which is what Kickstarter really is about. It's about helping these people who can't get it, you know, can't get funded anywhere else. I mean, Penny Arcade, they can get funded through ads. You might not like it, but they can. There are these games out there that if they don't get money through Kickstarter, you know, and not just games, anything, comics, anything that needs funding, like if they don't get it through Kickstarter, they're not going to get anything at all. I mean, then it just turns into a big failure and they have to stop. And like I've joked about it, but if I could get Kickstarter to go with it. I would love to start a Kickstarter campaign to raise money to fund other smaller Kickstarters. That's what I would love to do that. If I could somehow
be the
manage
PR
that.
Wheel for that.
Because that's
thing.
What, like, and for me, like, if I was starting a Kickstarter campaign, I would just, the way I would have it set up is I would have my goal, and then I would say, if I exceed this goal, I'm not going to be putting that money into my own project. I'm going to take that money and then donate it to other Kickstarters. I'm going to help fund other Kickstarter campaigns. I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm just going to make my thing better. I'm going to be like, I'm going to help so other companies can make cool things too.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to patch the patch, says Polytron Corporation.
And then he deletes the post.
Oh, he did delete it?
Yeah, but I haven't. So, if you go to Pixelated Sauces, the post with this podcast, you can see I have a link to the cached version.
So apparently they had released a patch for Fez, and apparently it was deleting some saves. Like, less than 1% of the people, their saves were being deleted, which sucks, because that game would be a pain in the ass to go back through again to get some of those things to even remember where they're at. So, but to get to fix the patch, it would cost him money for recertification, which he says is tens of thousands of dollars, which I think the rumor's been for a while that it's like $40,000 a patch or something like that.
Like, it's, I don't know, I've been hearing various things that some say 40,000, some say 10,000, and that he's saying it would cost 40,000 because you'd have to keep resubmitting it. So yeah. I don't know how it works.
This dude's kind of a douchebag. The more I hear about him, the more I hate him.
I'm going to say, before I start talking, we have a voicemail, and it's sort of relates to this, so I just want to play it.
Okay.
I want to leave a question for Pixelated Radio. I'm too lazy to fire up the studio, and I feel like shit.
Oh, yeah, this is hotcakes, man.
My question is, why does Rob hate Phil Fish so much? Like, I know he's kind of a eccentric prick, but, like, Rob just fucking hates this guy, and I want to know why. I really want to know why.
He really wants to know.
All right. Bye.
That's it.
Honestly, after my rant on Phil Fish last whatever show that was, it wasn't Phil Fish that I had the problem with. It was the dude that makes Super Meat Boy that has the tattoo to get on my fucking nerves. It just really set me off. But Phil Fish is still a douchebag, in my opinion. Is he's complaining that, oh, I put out a game that was broken, and now I've got to fix it. Oh, I got to pay all this money, and he's like, and now I owe Microsoft money for.
I will say that I think that there are problems on both sides. I do think that Microsoft, you know, the whole having to pay so much, there should be maybe some kind of disc, you know, a lower fee when it's a arcade game, since those have smaller production values behind them in general, so that there's a lesser chance that they actually have the money to patch, or maybe just, you know, if they have to recertify it and the patch doesn't go through, that they don't have to pay again, so that it only counts if the patch actually gets uploaded, instead of it being like, oh, we submitted this patch, it got rejected, we submit again, like, you shouldn't have to pay over and over again just to submit it. Like, if it actually goes live, then maybe there should be some kind of thing, but still, well, Phil Fish complaining, just like saying he, you know, basically saying, I don't give a shit about the fans. It's all about the money for me, so fuck all you.
Well, here's my big problem with this is, dude signed the contract. That's his fault. If he didn't read the fucking contract, he's a fucking moron.
And maybe his words were, maybe he didn't know how he was coming across, but when what he said, like, oh, you think we get paid to be on this platform, to be an exclusive, that's not, we're paying my, that is the biggest load of shit. And if it's not, then you are the dumbest man in the world for signing
that's
a contract.
Exactly.
That you pay them to be, because who the hell would ever sign a contract that says, I'm going to pay you to be exclusive to your platform so I can't put my game on anything else and get more money? Because that makes
now,
total sense.
What somebody else brought up, and this may be true, Microsoft may help fund Fez, and that's part of their exclusive agreement with
they
Fez.
Very well could have, because, I mean, the game took forever.
Right.
And they just let it, it's not like they were saying, you know, like, pushing them and saying, forget it, we're done. I mean, that game was delayed.
Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, and if you, I haven't watched Indie Game the movie. I did buy it finally, but I was kind of waiting for my trip to watch it. I figured I'd watch it on the plane, on the flight to Seattle. So that's what I was kind of waiting for, but I don't know. I've got my new little bitty laptop I bought. It's got an HDMI port, so I could probably put it on the stick and watch it on my television now. That was the biggest issue with Indie Game, the movie. I couldn't find any way to watch it on TV. So, I don't know. The dude just comes off, when he goes off like that in a mad rant, it kind of bothers me because it's like, oh yeah, I'm the one being screwed over. Cry me a river. I didn't read the contract. And to me, that's just what it comes down to. It's just fucking shit like that. Really.
He's someone who often seems to speak before he thinks. I mean, it's kind of shown in that the fact that he got rid of the original post is that he must have felt that there's something in there that he just felt like, oh, maybe I should not have this up here.
I think when Microsoft responded to it, he probably realized, you know, that he was coming off like an asshole too. So, but I, like you were saying about the patch, the recertification, all that, I can see why Microsoft would charge this because
I understand why they charge it, but I'm saying that to keep resubmitting it, I mean, there gets a point where they're just basically saying to, I mean, it's their way of saying to any developers, don't make games for our platform, because it's not like they have the money of an Activision. I mean, if it's just a few guys, it's not like they can just throw tens of thousands of dollars to give a patch out. I mean, there should be something.
To keep in mind, there's also, you get the first patch for free.
Yeah, but the way it works, because I'm not exactly sure how it works, but in that way, it says if it comes back and then there was an issue with it, then you have to resubmit. Then you know it's no longer free. I'm saying that it would be maybe better if it's just you pay when the patch is actually good to go and submitted and goes live. So you have to pay for your patch to actually, you know, go across or something. I don't know.
I don't know. It's a mess, but I just think the dude's a douchebag. And
but I mean, there's still, Microsoft has to rethink the way it deals with indies and the downloadable space, because they don't do shit for the actual Xbox Live indie game marketplace, and then the indies who actually make it onto Xbox Live Arcade, you know, that's no easy picnic either.
Right, and it was released this week too that Minecraft has sold 3 million copies on Xbox.
Yeah, and it was funny, like the post just before this one was like, Fez has sold 100,000 copies. So, yeah. And his very snarky little end comment to his original post was like, oh, I hope you like the exclusivity. It's not going to last for that much.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which is a bit confusing, because it seems like there was a lot of issues with that game, and then the programming is rather complicated, and the original programmer left, I believe. So, I mean, he's had to have, you know, had someone else, I guess, apparently working on a Steam version or, you know, PC version or something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's never been any kind of, I don't know, maybe he's just a liar. I don't know.
Anyway, so let's move on to some serious news.
I don't even really want to talk about this so much as I just wanted to bring it up to acknowledge it and to, you know, pay our respects.
So, in Aurora, Colorado, at the midnight showing of Batman, or not Batman, Dark Knight Rises, well, it is Batman. We had a gunman break in through the back door with body armor. He threw a smoke grenade and started open fire on a packed theater. And 12 people died, 59 were injured, I think is what the count was. So 71 people were shot. The youngest person killed was a 6-year-old child, which is fucking heartbreaking. And even worse is that the mother's still doesn't know. She's still hurt. She's in like critical condition. So our heart goes out to people that lost their lives in such a terrible fucking catastrophe.
I was just kind of in utter shock when it was coming out, and I was like, that entire day, cause it happened on Friday. It was just kind of, I don't know. I was so not motivated to do anything.
Yeah. And I was getting ready to go to bed when I first heard the reports start coming out about it. And I was glued to the computer trying to find out any more information. They found out that it's a who is a...
I don't even want to talk about him. I don't care about the killer. It's more about the people who were the victims. I don't even want to... I'm going to erase his name from this podcast. I don't even want to talk about him. He doesn't deserve it.
Yeah. And it's just a sad situation.
And I like one of the specific stories that came out was, I don't remember her name, but the like up and coming sportscaster. Oh, like that was just, that was heartbreaking too, because you hear about like she was at the Toronto
mall shooting
in Toronto, and then she wrote a blog post about it or whatever, and just said, you know, she had this feeling, and then she walked out like a few minutes before it all happened. And then you also had like, I remember the first time I heard about her case was just like somebody tweeted out, if you want to have some perspective on your life, go to her page and realize that her last tweet was 20 minutes before she was killed.
20 minutes till the movie starts. Yeah.
So
it's a horrible situation, and this is definitely going to have lots of repercussions, and it's already been tried to use for political gain, and it's not the time for something like that. It's just terrible. But I would look for more security, and I think all that cosplaying and stuff that goes on in theaters now, I think that's all going to be gone.
Yeah.
Before the end of the year, even though I don't think he was dressed like that, because I think he actually bought a ticket. The rumors are that he was in the theater and he walked out the back door and put tape over the fire alarm so that the door wouldn't close all the way. So that's why he could kick it open. Because some people were like, well, how is that possible? Because, you know, if you go through those doors, the fire alarms go off, but that's not always true. A lot of times that's just an exit, because that was one of the ways we always got out of the theaters.
Yeah,
and stuff
a lot of theaters, that's just an exit. It's not like it's a fire exit.
Right. So somebody says that's what they think happened, is he kind of put tape or something over that door as he left and then went out and got his body armor on and then came back in. So
it's
a horrible situation. So our thoughts go out with those folks that lost somebody in that town. And, you know, it's sad to think that this took place, like, what was it, 5 miles or 15 minutes, something like really close to Columbine.
Yeah.
So, but
that's it. Final story is we're both duty heads. So now we end the show with our plugs, all cherry.
All right, push plug away, sir.
PixelatedSausage.com. You should subscribe to the YouTube page now, because I'm going to be doing videos at a regular basis. YouTube.com/PixelatedSausage. The podcast, pixelatedradio.com. Find it on iTunes, on Zoom. Give us a rating. That'd be very much appreciated. On Twitter, I'm at Kush3. Site's at Peace Sausage. And the podcast is at Pixelator Radio. You should also check out the Two-Headed Nerd comic cast at twoheadednerd.com. The Signed In podcast at signedinpodcast.com. The Pull List podcast at studioradio.blogspot.com. And the Undercover Unitards podcast at undercoverunitards.com or something like that. All the links are in the actual post, so you can find them that way. And then, you know, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy.
Henderson Man on twitter.com, so, you know, you can find me there. Henderson Man on Xbox. PSN. Leave us reviews on iTunes. We haven't had one in a while.
Voicemail, if you want to leave us one, you can once again dial 312-772-5874. And you know what? You should click that little PayPal button and donate to the site and the podcast and everything, because nothing is free. Nothing in life is free. And guess what? I don't have any ads on the site to start a Kickstarter campaign to get rid of them. So just, you know, think of that. I'm already nice enough to not have any of that crap. So support the site. You know, podcasting's not free. Hosting the site's not free. Free Meat Friday is definitely not free for me.
6 weeks away from PAX, I think. Six or eight. I think it's six.
Well, yeah, it's definitely six. Not eight.
Yeah.
It might even be closer to five.
Maybe five. Yeah, something like that. It's got to be six.
It's the end of August.
Yeah. August, beginning of September. So, yeah. We've been talking about that stuff.
Yeah.
So, rock on. All right, that's going to be it for the show.
Adios, everyone.
Everybody, have a good day, and I will figure out how to turn off Skype.
Yeah.
Laters.
Please turn off this. Turn it off. Hang up. Why aren't you hanging up? Hang up. Hang up. Hang up. Hang up. You're not hanging up. It's still going. Please hang up. Hang up. Hang up. Hang up.